2 Timothy 1, 1 through 12, and Jeremiah 31, 17. Father, I ask you today that you will just bless this service, that you will bless my lips and anoint me, God, to speak a word about faith and how faith brings results. I give you praise for the outcome of this message right now, and I thank you for the honor to speak your word in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Now, the reason that we're reading all 12 verses, our text is really going to come out of verse 7, 2 Timothy chapter 1. But it's a whole story here from verses 1 through 12. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, a beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus, our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. I want to read the verse now, Jeremiah 31 and 17, to you, and we will talk further about that towards the end of this message. But I specifically heard the Holy Spirit tell me to bring this into the message for you, the people of God in this church. There is hope in your future, says the Lord, that your children shall come back to their own border. You know, faith is a remarkable gift, and it brings results to our lives and hope to our souls. And faith is a gift. We cannot conjure up faith ourselves. We didn't have the idea of faith. We were born with a belief system, whether you were a Christian or not, into a home of Christians. You were born with a secular version of faith. You just believed that things were going to be okay. You had a hope that was a secular type of hope. But when you became a born-again believer, you were saved by grace through faith. You were given a measure of faith, and we'll share on that just in a few moments. You see, but the Bible declares without faith it is impossible to please God. Hebrews 11 and 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We can look at this and understand very clearly that it's a very straightforward scripture. You're not going to please God unless you have faith. But you can't please God with a faith if you don't believe that God exists. But if you do believe God exists and you have faith, it is possible to please Him. And because you please Him, He will reward you for diligently seeking Him. In other words, really seeking Him out. Not a quick genuflection prayer, but a prayer that reaches up into the heavens. A prayer that literally states, I'm praying through till I reach God. And I'm going to spend time in the throne room of grace with God, that He would speak into my life and anoint my life and speak promises into my life, that I would be able to take those promises and hang on to those promises when times get tough or when struggles come upon me that I did not realize because of a decision or just because of how the day went. How many understand what I just said, that there are times where struggles just show up and you have to deal with them and you have to learn how to have a faith towards God through that time? You see, faith surrounds, it underscores, and leads us in our walk with Jesus. We need to have faith to be saved. We need to have faith to be healed. We need to have faith to believe. We need to have faith to receive. You see, it underscores our life with God. It literally surrounds us. I'm glad to be surrounded by faith. I'm glad to be able to pick up the shield of faith every day and know that it quenches every fiery missile of the devil, every fiery dart of the devil. When you have that shield of faith, that true belief system that nothing is impossible to God, that He'll be able to take care of you, your family, this church, other churches, the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, because He loves us. And He promises us that He will deliver us out of all our trouble because we trust in the Lord. He took us out of the miry clay, the muck, the filth of this world, and put us upon a rock, the revelation of who Jesus Christ is, the only begotten Son of God, the Savior of the world, the Messiah. He put us on that rock and He established our steps. He began to lead us in our destiny. And because of that, He put a new song in our heart whereby that we would sing out, praise ye the Lord. And others would see and hear and they would fear God and trust in Him. You see, God's got a great plan for us, but it takes faith to believe this. It takes faith to adhere to this. It takes faith to walk every day with God. It takes faith to please Him. It takes faith to believe that He is. And it takes faith to believe that He is going to reward you because you have diligently and are diligently seeking Him. That's why I want to say to everyone today, I believe that each and every one should wake up every morning, kneel at the side of your bed, kneel at the side of your cot. Kneel at the side of your couch if you fell asleep on the couch that night. Whatever it may be. And just say a few moments of prayer to God, stating how much you love Him. Say the Lord's Prayer. Ask Him to bless your household. Call out the names of your family in your household. Call out your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren. Call out their names and then ask God to lead you into the kingdom principles of His word that day. Then ask God to lead you to where you can show somebody the love of Jesus Christ and hopefully lead them in the salvation prayer. Then ask God to show you the favor that He wants for you in your life that day. And then just go on and pray however you want to pray, but just do those prayers and open up your day like that and see what God can do for you. You can safely state that faith defines our commitment to the Lord and His word, because you can't get up and do those things unless you have faith. Today, I firmly believe that Jesus exists. I've never seen him. The renditions of all the artists, that's not him. That's just some human thing for us to have a connection. But we've never seen him. I've never seen God. But I know that he exists when I look around and I see this wonderful world. And I look up and see the stars in the sky that are just multiple light years away, hanging there. The beauty of it. When I look at the oceans and the bay, the mountains, and I see you, I see the beauty of God. I see the love of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God. And I know God exists. And I really believe that God has a plan for your life and my life every day. Faith is a word which speaks three distinct characteristics to our hearts. The first one, faith speaks hope. You and I have hope. If you're breathing, you have hope. You have a hope, a belief. You have a knowledge that God has spoken a promise into your life. And because of faith, there's going to be results of that promise into your life. No matter what you're going through today, if you woke up in a struggle or you woke up in the shining of God's favor, you have hope. You're there. And God will be there for you and strengthen you and guide you in every area. The second is expectancy. I expect God to do something every day. I expect him to save people. I expect him to heal people. I expect him to speak to people. I expect him to lead people. I expect him to guard people. I expect him to be the high tower whereby you can run to him and find safety. I expect him to be the bulwark that faileth not. I expect him to be the bridge over troubled waters. I expect him to be that God whom he says he is, that is the creator of the heavens and the earth. I expect him to be strong and mighty. As a matter of fact, I expect him to be the strength of my life and the almighty of my life. I expect God to be everything that the Bible says that he is. Amen. And I have that expectancy with God through faith. On every prayer that is ever prayed out of my lips, out of every dream that I've ever dreamt, out of every vision that I've ever seen in my spirit, and out of every promise that I've ever heard in these ears from God speaking to me in prayer, I expect those promises to come about. I expect God to bring those into fruition that he would be glorified. And the third characteristic, not only is hope and expectancy such a great area of our life every day, we have that characteristic of trust. I trust God. And I don't need a dollar bill or a $5 bill to be able to read that to be reminded. I trust God. I trust God for healing. I trust God for prosperity. I trust God for provision. I trust God for his mercy to be shown. I trust God for his guiding hand to lead me down the paths of righteousness for his name's sake, to lead me by still waters, to make me to lie down in green pastures. I expect God to be the shepherd that I know that he is, and I shall have no want. I expect God to lead me through the valley of the shadow of death, where I know if he's walking with me, I will fear no evil. I expect God to prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. I expect God to anoint my head and to fill my cup to the overflow. I expect God to have mercy and goodness following me all the days of my life. And I expect God to, when I get into the house of God where I'm heading, that he's going to be there waiting for me as I worship and praise him. I expect God because he is worthy. And I trust God to be there. And I have hope that he'll be there in all things. I simply trust the Lord at his word. I don't need to have a signed contract by him. The contract that he signed was the spilt blood of his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, at Calvary's cross on the hill called Golgotha over 2,000 years ago where he gave his life. And I trust God because I trust him for his word, because the tomb was empty on the third morning. And I trust God because nearly 500 witnesses saw him ascend up into glory. I trust trust God because 120 were in one accordance in prayer in the upper room, and in came the Holy Spirit as cloven tongues upon each head and the sounds of a mighty rushing wind, and they all began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave utterance, and they came out of that upper room and came down those stairs and began to praise God and dance in the Spirit across Jerusalem. And all the city of Jerusalem heard the word that day. And I trust God because 3,000 people came to the Lord that afternoon. Praise God. I trust God that the church was born. I trust God that through all that you and I are part of started then, and it was prophesied before then. And when God created the heavens and the earth, we were already on his mind, and we are part of the great and mighty outpouring of his Holy Spirit, and we are God's bride, Jesus' bride. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost. We are no longer our own. We've been bought by a price, and that price was by the blood of Jesus Christ, which is shed at Calvary's cross. He was the incarnation. He was God, man on this earth. He went through the crucifixion. He went through the ascension, and now he is our intercessor. For Hebrews 7 and 25 says that every day he speaks our name before the Lord God, and he is able to save all those who come to God through him. Amen. Would you praise him this morning? Paul writes to Timothy, his son in the faith. He speaks to him as a father would be speaking to his son, reminding him of the gift that was given to him by the laying on of hands. You see, the laying on of hands is very important. But the Bible says, don't be quick to lay hands on anybody. Don't be quick to just say, I bless you. Don't say God bless you just as a phrase. In other words, it's very important that we understand the laying on of hands is important, because the laying on of hands transfers an anointing. And you don't want to just lay hands on anybody to transfer an anointing into somebody who's not going to use it. You want to be able to transfer it into someone who will use that anointing and receive that anointing. And he said here that by the laying on of hands, and also the same gift resided in his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice. They themselves had this great gift of faith. Paul laid hands on Timothy, and he transferred this gift of faith into his life, this anointing of great faith, this anointing to be able to birth churches, and this anointing to be able to walk into cities and begin to preach the gospel. You know, it's not as though we're looking at a modern day faith today, to where it says, if you have faith, you have everything. Now, you may receive everything, but you're also going to go through some difficult times. I'm not here to say any doom to you. I'm here to tell you that with faith comes suffering. With faith comes days where you're wondering if you left your faith bag at home. It comes to a place to where you're going, my goodness gracious, I'm going through struggles right now. I'm going through trouble right now. And you're wondering what's wrong, and you begin to go into some fault feeling. Just remember this. Paul, when he was in prison, and Paul, when he was just about to die, when he's about to have his head severed from his shoulders, he said, I have fought the good fight of faith. In other words, there is a time where we go through in our life. It's not about everything that we can receive here on this earth. It's about what we receive in our eternal heaven with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Amen. Faith is not a genetic, as one would think in the secular or natural flow, that you have a genetic makeup, and what your family may have, you're going to get, and you know all these things happen, you know, and this whole thing is genetics. Faith is literally a beautiful characteristic and a gift that comes from God. Faith is supernatural, and it brings supernatural results into a person's life who moves in faith. I love supernatural results. I love it when the Lord our God gives things to us and blesses us and strengthens us. I love it when God moves in our life and gives us the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I love that when God brings into our life the blessings of His kingdom. I love when God speaks to our hearts and declares to us our destiny. But He also wants us to move in the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, knowing and trusting and having that hope, that expectancy, and that trust in a living God who can literally do all that we ask or think according to the power that works within us. Knowing that the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory is mighty and powerful in all things. He is the King who will never be dethroned. He is the power that can never be overpowered. He is the Lord of all lords. He is the King of all kings. He is the God of all gods. He is the mighty one of Israel. And He is supernatural. You see, Paul structures a verse to give definition on how to live by faith and move in faith. And that's what he was saying here. And here's the verse that I want you to hear today. It's so important. He's not given us a spirit of timidity or fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Now, I want you to hear this morning because it's so important. He's saying here, the Lord did not give Timothy or you or I a spirit of fear. In other words, He did not give us a spirit of a coward. We're not afraid. Amen. We're not cowards. We don't have a cowardice spirit. That God did not give that gift to us. That's not what God gives to His children. He gives us a spirit of power. That, and the word power in the Greek is the same word that you find in "I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me" in Philippians 4 and 13. What it is He gave us a spirit, that dunamis power, that miraculous power, that explosive power, that power that will bring change to the lives of the people that we come in contact with, and the change that came into our own life when we received Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory, as Savior. He has given us a spirit of power. We walk in power, we live in power, we move in power, we pray in power, we speak in power, we preach in power. What we do is always done by the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit of the living God. Amen. Someone put your hand together for this morning. Amen. God is doing something in our lives every day. He did not give us a spirit of fear to where we can hide over in a corner. He gave us a spirit of power. Power to overcome. Power to succeed. Power to live in our destiny. Power to pray. God gave us this as a gift. The second thing that He gave us, He gave us a spirit of love. Not our specific love that you and I are born with. In the Greek, it's called the filial love. It's the natural love that a man may fall in love with a woman fall in love with a man. And this is like the filial love. It's a natural love where we are given that in our life every moment of our life as we live on this earth. But He gave us the spirit of agape love. He put His love in us. That love oversees and goes beyond what our love is capable of doing. If you'll be honest, there are some people you run into, you have a difficult time loving. But however, let me tell you right now, the beauty of what I'm saying is this. There is a God in heaven that put a love in our life that we love everybody. We can see through all the discrepancies and all the things that would constantly keep us back from loving someone. And when we love with God's love, which we should, every Christian should love with God's love. Love everybody and care for everybody and reach out for everybody and know that those are people that are created on this earth just like you and I are, that they need to be loved. And you know, every week I speak to several hundred people every Saturday. Without fail, I'm better than the the postman. I'm there every week. I do not miss it, rain or shine. And if it snowed, I'd say snow, but being it doesn't snow, I won't say that. But every week I speak into several hundred lives of people that do not have a bed to sleep in, do not have the money to buy something that they would want, do not have the means of changing into brand new or freshly washed clothes daily. They don't even have the means to purchase a pair of socks or a brand new pair of shoes or a t-shirt. They don't have the means to do that at all. But every week they come and they hear me speak. And you know why they're there? Because they say this to me: we know you love us, even though our condition states that most people stay away from us. And I'll tell you what I love them for is because they are God's creation. With inside the shell, this body, there is a soul living, praise God. And that soul is alive in Jesus Christ. And it's seeking to find a Lord, a Savior. It's seeking to be loved. And in a world that pushes away people and says that they cannot be loved, you can't come into this. You're not a certain creed. You're not a certain race. You're not a certain person from a certain hood. But oh no, God said, let everybody come into my kingdom. Let them come in no matter who they are, where they were born, what culture they are, what city they're from, what hamlet they're from. They are my children, and they need to be loved by the love of the Almighty God. And they shall know that we are Christians, how we love one another. Amen. He gave us that. That's nothing we can do on our own at all. You know, when you grow up like I did, I didn't have agape love. I just wanted to do bad things. I woke up every day looking what I could do bad. I went to church as a young man, and being raised in the faith I was in, we had to go to church every day in the morning before we went to school. I'd sit in that church and I'd look around and see who I was going to fight that day. I'd choose someone in that large audience of a school of 1,000 kids there, and I would choose somebody that I would go out in the schoolyard and start a fight. I didn't have love for people. I didn't know love. I didn't have the love that others had that I knew. I didn't have the mother or the father that was there cuddling me and holding me and blessing me and telling me how great I was. I had a mother that worked, well, she gave herself the name of cocktail hostess, but she worked in a bar till 2:30 in the morning. My father was never home, and when he was home, he was asleep on the couch. I remember when I said to my father, I woke him up on the couch. I said, hey, Dad, do you remember you're taking me to McDonald's today? And the next thing I know, he punched me and kneed me in the back and knocked me out. And I woke up in my bedroom because I woke him up. I'm talking about, that's the love the world has. But I tell you, when I go to my Father in heaven now and I say, hey, God, do you remember that you were going to be with me today and we were going to do some things together today, he hugs me, carries me to my destination, blesses me, and gives me the goodness of his mercy and grace. Praise God. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. I hear the goodness of God's love, and I'm just so thankful for his love that's inside my life. You see, if God's love can change an individual like me, it can change anybody. Praise God. God's love can change anybody. He can deliver anybody out of anything and set them on that rock forever and ever. They'll be established in the power and the anointing of God's mercy and love. Are you with me this morning? And then he also gave us the third thing: a spirit of a sound mind. This is important because this talks about sound judgment, sound advice. In other words, prudence. And that word prudence amplified out is discretion, practicality, farsightedness, forethought. He gives us this. He gives us a mind. Let this mind, the Bible says, be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Philippians in chapter 2 and verse 5. And let me say this to you. It's really saying there, in there it says in Philippians 2 and 5, let this attitude that Christ had be the same attitude that you should have. What kind of attitude did Jesus have? He had an attitude of faith. He really did. Everywhere he went, he believed God was going to heal. He was going to touch lives. He gave people blessings, and he fed 5,000 people one day on a few loaves and a few fish. Praise God. Amen. I'll tell you what, I love that. I saw somebody the other day. That's made such an impact on people's lives that I saw somebody the other day who wasn't even a Christian, and they said they're about to run out of things. I said, are you okay? And he goes, well, I'm believing for the loaves and fishes. And they're not even a Christian. You see, that story touches lives. Your story can touch lives everywhere if you simply trust and believe God. Your story can change an individual's life. What God has done for you, he'll do for everyone, because he is no respecter of persons. Again, God doesn't look at your heritage. He doesn't look of what neighborhood. He doesn't look at what color your skin is. He doesn't look at what creed you were raised. He looks at his creation, and he sees you through the blood of Jesus Christ. And all he wants to do is do good things for your life and bless your life and give you the goodness of his mercy. And he has so much to give, he never runs out. Amen. Praise God. You know, I've been in line before. Have you ever been in line before? I know you have. It's a facetious question. I've been standing in line before, and when it got to be my turn, you know what they said to me? We're all out. I said, what? I've been in line for 5 hours. We're all out. I said, what are we going to do about this? We're all out. That's all I kept on saying. He kept on saying, all I kept on hearing is we're all out. You know, sometimes, every time, all the time, God never says, we're all out.
Amen.
He always says, do you need more? Do you need to have more into your life? Do you need to be blessed even more? Do you need a healing? Do you need someone to prosper you? Do you need provision in your life? God can do everything if we understand. But there are times where we make the bad judgment. We push God's judgment aside. We take our own judgment. How many realize that our judgment will get us in trouble? My Lord. If there's ever been trouble in my life, it's not because Jesus was there. It's because I told Jesus to wait a minute. I think I can handle this one myself. You know, and all of a sudden I'm in trouble all over again. I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble. I'm this. I'm that. I'm this. You know, I just believe that with all my heart, that if we just have sound judgment and we take sound advice from God, sometimes we go to the wrong people for advice. You know why? Because naturally we want to go to the person that we want them to speak the advice we want to hear. So what do you think? And you're waiting for them to say, well, yeah, I think you ought to do that. That sounds good. They haven't prayed. They haven't looked into the Word. They haven't fasted. They're just giving you some advice that they're wanting to give you. And then we, as people, when we go to somebody for advice and they don't give us the right advice, we walk away upset with them. But let me tell you something. God always gives us the right advice. Why can I say that? Because he can see tomorrow. You and I have enough time and struggle getting through one day. How about you? I'll admit that. A day comes and all of a sudden there's so much struggle, you're wondering, maybe if I just kind of go back to bed, wait a few minutes, maybe even fall asleep, maybe snore, whatever it may be, maybe go through that avenue of sleep and get up again and put my feet on the floor, things are going to change. You see, we can only deal with a day. That's why Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow, for today, difficulties are bad enough. I'm paraphrasing. He said, but tomorrow will bring its own problems.
Right.
But we can ask God, what about our tomorrow? How do you want us to do? And there are times where we want something so bad. And any of you that have children and have raised children, whatever it may be, sometimes your children say, oh, I want this, I want this, I want this. And you know if they get this, it's going to be a trouble for them. So you say no.
and they don't get it, and what do? Bam, they get mad at you. They get angry with you. They, if they're young enough, they begin to cry. Oh, as a matter of fact, some of them are old enough, they still cry. You know, but literally, what you have to do is you just have to say, I'm giving you sound advice. I've been down that road before. This leads to despair. This leads to something for you that would not be right. Faith keeps us from being ashamed of the gospel and of others in the family of faith who have become prisoners or have suffered for the gospel's sake. Faith is the reception of a holy calling. When you receive something in your life from the Lord, a holy calling, we receive Him who has given it to us through His grace, that unmerited favor. Like my wife had stated this morning, grace is unmerited favor. But she said the favor that we believe that this church is going to receive and is in the process, in the beginning stages of receiving this for 2014, believe me, favor is deserved. God wants to bless your life. I often wonder why people want to stay away from God. I tell you, I lived in a horrible world. I lived a horrible lifestyle. I hurt a lot of people. I did a lot of wrong things. Believe me, I don't want to go through it all right now, but I'm just trying to tell you, when I met Jesus Christ, everything changed. And the question I asked myself started with a statement. The statement was, man, have you been stupid? You just ran in with God and all this stuff starts happening. This is great. I'll just tell you something. Let me be honest with you. Can I be honest with you? No. To this day, when I see a highway patrolman or a sheriff, I don't have to worry. Up to that point, when I saw a highway patrolman or a sheriff, I got more than nervous. I thought this could be it. But when I gave my heart to Jesus, now I go by him and I say, thank you for all the good you're doing for the community. Praise God. And they're looking at me like, what a great citizen he is. And I'm a great citizen. Now I'm a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. And I'm saved and I'm living a good life. But prior to that, I wouldn't have gone to him and said, thank you for what you're doing. Amen. But when Jesus comes into your life, that faith comes in and God begins to touch your life and new things begin to happen. You may get called to preach. You may be called to be an apostle. You may be called to be a teacher. But you'll be called to do something for the Lord because you have been given a gift of faith. Romans 12 verses 2 through 4. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, getting that sound mind. You see, when you think outside of God's kingdom, you don't think with a renewed mind. You think how the world wants you to think. And how does the world want you to think? We live in a world that wants to take all the time. Take, take, all the time. Press you down. Never allow you to come up. Never to let you do anything. But the world that God invites you in, he wants to give and give and give. He wants to lift you up. He wants to restore you. He wants to give you your destiny. He wants to show you the purpose why you were born. He wants you to walk in faith and courage. He wants you to walk with your shoulders back and your head high, not being concerned of what your neighbor may think. But what you need to be concerned of is what God thinks, and he thinks good of you every day of your life. Amen.
Amen.
That you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all members do not have the same function. You see, there is times, though, when you're walking with God, believing in Jesus Christ, if you study the Word, you'll see that suffering came. People went through struggles. They went to prison. They were beaten. They were made fun of. They were mocked. But they didn't stop serving God. They didn't stop believing God for who He was. They didn't say, you know what? This is too difficult for me. It's nothing is too difficult for the Lord. And they continued to go through. They went through rejection, and they didn't allow rejection to stop them. They went through being friendless. They didn't allow the lack of friends to stop them. They were shipwrecked. They didn't allow themselves to be shipwrecked and in despair and say, I'm done for. I was shipwrecked. They were beaten and they got up and they moved. They were left for dead and they got back to life and moved forward in Jesus Christ's name. Never did they think God has forsaken me, but they knew they had a faith in a living God that God will always be there for you. And faith causes you to be persuaded. Faith causes you to know without a shadow of doubt or a character of fear that God is able to keep you and have you be totally committed unto him until that day. Listen to this. I'm going to bring it to a close now. I want you to hear this. I want you to listen to these next scriptures. And if you would, just write them down and read them later on your own. Listen to what it says here. He's going to keep you until that day. Philippians 1 and 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. The only thing God is waiting for is for people to allow him to begin his work. He's ready to start. He's ready to do it. He's like the guy that's got a job. And the boss gets there at 6 o'clock to open up the business. And he sees the guy who just got the job. He says, you don't start till 1. He says, I know. I'm just so excited. I got here early. I can't wait. God's right there at your heart's door saying to you right now, I'm ready to come in. I'm ready to come in and have supper with you. I'm ready to bless your life. I'm ready to begin a work in you, and I will perform that work. I will do this work for you until the great day of the Lord Jesus Christ. I will not stop. I will not cease blessing you. I will not cease protecting you. I will not cease being a bulwark around you that faileth not. I will not cease being the name that is like a high tower and you can run to it and find safety. I will not cease being your pavilion. I will not cease being your shelter. I will not cease blessing you coming in and blessing you going out. I will not cease being the help that you look to when you look up to the hills, whence cometh your help, and you see the help cometh from the Lord God Almighty. He's the one who will overshadow you at the day and guard you by night. He never sleeps nor slumbers. He's always there, and he'll never, ever let evil befall you. No plague will come near your dwelling, and you will reside under the pinions of the shadow of the Almighty God. These are just a few of the promises that come with kingdom lifestyle, with faith and believing that he is. Don't worry, but be confident when it comes to your walk with God and his faithfulness towards you. He has promised you great promises that only he can promise and only you can receive through your faith in him. The enemy, though, will try to deceive you and bring doubt and fear into your lives. Now, if you've been living on this earth for any length of time and you were listening, I don't mean that as downcasting. I'm just saying that these words come. You'll never be anything. Never be anything. Let me tell you, I have a special friend of mine, somebody who's very dear to me. When we lived in the Bay Area over there in San Lorenzo, his counselor told his mother, he'll never be anything. High school counselor told his mother that her son, her oldest son, would never be anything. This oldest son never even walked to get his diploma with the group at all. Half the time, some of the time, maybe most of the time, I heard that his father once went to see him at the high school he was attending, and he wasn't in the classroom. And later on, he found out that day that he was out behind the gym smoking some dope. While everybody else was studying, he was out there with a couple friends smoking dope. The counselor said he'd never become anything. But the family never stopped praying. The father went to the son one time and said, I went to the principal myself and talked to the principal. And he likes you. And he said to me to ask you this. He said, if you'll go to adult school from August all the way till December, he will give you the high school diploma if you pass. The young man thought about it for a minute, and the father said, and if you do this, I want you to take the diploma and present it to your mother, because she would love that. And that was the trigger. He has a compassion for his mother. He went to adult school, he passed it. Now the counselor said he would never become anything. Has anybody ever heard that? You'll never become anything. When he graduated from adult school, he got a miracle phone call from a university back east. His father picked up the phone, and there was somebody on the other line. Father said it was a Spanish girl, sounded Puerto Rican. The reason he knew that is because his father-in-law was Puerto Rican. Sounded Puerto Rican, and she had a cold or something, so nasally Puerto Rican, he said. And he said, would your son like to come to our university? Didn't take his walk with his high school. Went to adult school, didn't graduate at all. Got the diploma, presented it to his mom. Then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, this phone call comes. The father says, well, I don't know, you're joking with me. Who are you? No, this is really, gave her name, and there was a baby in her arms. She goes, that's my baby I just had. And the baby's crying. So you have a nasally Puerto Rican with a crying baby calling for your son, who everybody said he would be nothing, to come to a university that's all the way across the United States from California. The father said, I don't know if this is real. I'll ask him when he comes in. Give me your number. Gave him the number, and the son comes in the door, and the father said, son, would you like to go to this university? And his son's there. He's sagging. He's got his gang tat on his back. He was the head, you know, and he's got everything. And, you know, and he's sagging down his pants, and he's in there, and he's got his wife beater on, and he's there, and he's coming. Hair's all slick back, and he's ready. He looks up at his dad, and he goes, yeah, that'd be cool. His dad's mouth drops open. His dad tells him what just happened. He calls back, and he says, yeah, he'll come. The girl says with a nasally Puerto Rican voice, baby crying, can he be here by Tuesday? The father says, I believe so. No money in the bank for the plane ticket. Knows that 2 days plane ticket away will cost thousands of dollars. Hangs up the phone, goes to church that night and speaks it to the church. This has just happened. The church gets together behind the scenes, raises the $500 to buy the one-way ticket back east. Tuesday, he enters in to that university. Earrings, tat, wife beater, sagging pants, walking onto the campus. Son would never become anything. His brother joins him back there just about a year later. Son's doing better. Got his earrings out. Not that earrings are a problem, but back in those days it was. And back in that university it really was. No more wife beater, nothing like that. Let me close this quickly. Graduated from Lee University, Cleveland, Tennessee, with honors. Went on to Eastern Tennessee State University, the James H. Quillen Medical School, and became a doctor.
put his first choice to go to Oakland Children's Hospital and got his residency at Oakland Children's Hospital. When he graduated his residency, he put in for Stanford University Hospital. And out of the 12 applicants, he was the first one chosen across the United States. And then recently, Stanford University was raising him to be the medical director, and Kaiser Permanente heard about him, sought him out, and brought him over to Oakland, and is putting him in the brand new hospital they're building in Oakland, and he has his own medical clinic. Don't listen to what the counselor can say. Only believe what God can do when you hear. You'll never be anything. You can become somebody. Amen. You'll never be successful. You ever heard that one? I heard it in my life. You can never be better than you are right now. The devil loves that. That's all you're going to get. That's it. Let me tell you something. God's always got something better over the horizon. God's got something better for you no matter what. Your children have wandered from the faith and they will not be back. I got children wandering from the faith. The Bible says they'll be back.
Amen.
The Bible says they'll be back. My wife prayed in 1981 at an altar, an old wooden benched altar in Salida, California, north of Modesto, about 1 mile. An old country church, our first church we ever got. She prayed and God spoke to her heart for all four of my children. And just to tell you that the oldest, God said that he was going to travel the world, the one who could do nothing, travel the world, go across oceans and bring God's mercy. And that's exactly what he's done. He's gone on medical mission trips and traveled to Africa and brought his medical expertise to families and to children that don't have shoes and don't have food and brought that to them. Let me tell you, when God speaks something, friend, would you do me a favor this morning? Would you simply believe what God says and stop believing what the devil says? The devil wants you in hell. God wants you in heaven. And devil wants you to walk a rocky road that has no confidence and cowardice and fear and doubt and despair. God wants you to walk a road. There may be struggle, but right next to you, Jesus is walking right next to you. Praise God. And the enemy comes at you to the right, 10,000 will fall. To the left, 1,000 will fall. The enemy will come at you one way. God will drive them out 7 different directions from you. Praise God. He is the King of glory. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Jeremiah 31:17, there is hope in your future, says the Lord, that your children shall come back to their own border. Jeremiah 32:27, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Jeremiah 33:3, call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Ephesians 3:20, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. The enemy's a liar, folks. God is true. God is the one that wants to give you power, love, and a sound mind. The Bible says it, as I said in Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The Bible says in Colossians 3:2, set your mind on things above and not on things of this earth. Bible says in Philippians 3:14, I press towards the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And the Bible says in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The Bible says this in Mark 11:22. If you want results, Jesus said this, have faith in God.